When the author of James in chapter 2 says, "Faith without works is dead," how is he relating this to you and me? Why does he mention the demons or devils who believe? What does their faith get them? So very good to have you with us on this Friday. My name is Lucas Kitchen, and this is Grace in Focus. You can find out more about Grace in Focus and the Grace Evangelical Society at faithalone.org. I'll repeat that address with more information in a few minutes. But right now, let's jump right into our discussion with Sean and Bob. This is Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus Radio. My name is Sean Lazar.
Hi, Sean. This is Bob Wilkin.
Well, we've been talking about some of the most misunderstood words in the Bible, and Bob has written an entire book about what he thinks are the most misunderstood words, and we spent the last couple episodes talking about the word faith and some of the misunderstandings about what it means to believe in Jesus. We all know we're supposed to believe in Jesus in order to be eternally saved, but we don't always know what it means to believe. Is saving faith different? Does it require more than just intellectual assent, just believing that his promise is true? Does it require some type of commitment in your life? Does it require some type of emotional response or whole person encounter with the Lord? There's a lot of different options out there. And one of the things that we talked about was the difference between head faith and heart faith. And we saw that actually there is no difference. Paul in the New Testament just uses head and heart interchangeably for the same kind of faith. There's really only one kind of faith. Now, some people raise the objection that faith can't just be head faith because we read in the book of James that even the demons believe. Let me read that verse for you from James chapter 2, verse 19. "You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble." Well, if saving faith is just head faith, then it seems like the demons believe and they should be saved too. What would you say about that, Bob?
I've heard this many times, and there are so many problems with this explanation or this objection that it's hard to decide where to start. First of all, the issue is not believing the saving message. The issue is believing in monotheism.
Well, so let's talk about that, because just believing anything is not going to save you. What you believe matters when it comes to salvation.
Right. To be a monotheist, you believe that God is one. That's called monotheism. That is what every Muslim believes. That is what every Jew believes. That is what every Christian believes. At least most, I suppose there are some strange flavors that would see three gods or something, but almost every Christian would believe in monotheism. That doesn't mean a person is born again if they believe in monotheism. Problem two is we're not talking about living human beings. Remember John 11:26? "He who lives and believes in me shall never die." That's talking about living human beings that believe in Jesus. These are not human beings. They're not living human beings. And so even if they believe the saving message, they wouldn't be born again. Number two. Number three, that's not how this is being used in the passage. This is the words of the objector. The words of the objector start at the beginning of verse 18. "But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith by your works and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble.'" End quote. Then, "But do you want to know, O foolish man?" This is a stylistic feature used in the first century to raise an objection with an imaginary objector. And so these are the words of the objector. And the objector is basically saying this: "You believe that God is one, and you do well. You do good works. The demons believe that God is one, and they don't do good works. So there's no necessary connection between faith and works." That's what they're saying. They're not saying anything about whether the demons are born again or whether the demons are not born again.
So basically, the takeaway to the question, "Even the demons believe," what we're saying is James is not defining saving faith here. He's not even really defining faith. Basically, it's an objector saying there's no connection between faith and works.
That's exactly right. That's the issue. And besides, I'd even be willing to go further. It's clear from Luke chapter 8 and verse 12 that says, "Satan snatches away the seed lest they should believe and be saved," that Satan believes that any living human being that believes in Jesus will be saved once and for all. And so, in my estimation, Satan believes the saving message. But he knows it's not true for him because he's not a living human being. Christ didn't die for him. In the same way, I think the demons also believe that. They believe that any living human being that believes in Jesus has everlasting life, but they know that doesn't apply to them. And here's the thing, Sean. James 2:19 is typically brought up by people who believe in some form of work salvation. And they go first, typically, before James 2:19 to James 2:14 through 16. You want to read that, Sean, James 2:14 through 16?
Absolutely. It says this is the kind of the classic verse to, in order to prove that simply believing is not enough to be
read
saved.
Read 14 to 17.
All right.
Yeah.
So chapter 2, verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Now, a lot of people take that as teaching that if you don't have works, you don't have faith. Your faith doesn't even exist. But that's not what the text says.
No, in fact, that's the opposite of what the text says. The text says, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works added to it, is dead. Now, what does dead mean? In the context, dead doesn't mean non-existent. Verse 14 starts out with, what does it profit? Verse 16 ends with, what does it profit? In Greek, it's ti ta aphelos. What good is it? What use is it? What does it profit? Dead refers not to non-existence, but it refers to being non-profitable. It doesn't benefit. It's not good. And so the point of James 2:14 through 17 is that if we don't apply our faith, if we don't put it to work, it doesn't profit us or others. And by the way, notice how verse 14 comes off of verse 12. So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. That's the commands of the New Testament. Notice he says speak and do. Now notice verse 14. What does it profit if one of you says he has faith, but he does not do? He does not have works. Can faith save him? That, I would say that's arguing for, can that deliver him from God's judgment? The answer is no.
So, by the way, that's an important point that we're going to explore in a future episode. The word save is one of the most misunderstood words in the Bible. People think that it always means salvation from hell. But biblically speaking, there's all kinds of different deliverances. For example, when Peter was drowning, when he was walking on the water, he cried out, Lord, save me. Well, he wasn't thinking about hell at that moment. He was thinking about getting permanently wet by drowning
right.
in the water.
Right.
So there's different uses of the word save in the Bible. And you're saying this word save here in James 2 isn't about salvation from hell. It's about a different type of deliverance, different type of salvation in this life.
Right. There's five uses of the Greek word sozo in James. 121, 214, 412, 515, 520. All five of them refer to deliverance from calamity in this life.
For example, James talks about when someone is sick.
The prayer of faith will save the sick, James 5:15.
And the salvation there is salvation from sickness, obviously.
Right.
So James uses salvation in an earthly sense. It's earthly salvation.
That's right, because notice in verses 15 and 16, he says, if a brother or sister, he's talking about a fellow Christian in your own assembly, in your own church, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and notice this again, one of you says, remember verse 12, so say and so do, verse 14, saying but not doing, now verse 16, saying but not doing, one of you says, peace out, well, he says depart in peace, but that was the first century version of peace out, be warmed and be filled. Now, that's a good sentiment, right? He's basically saying, I'm praying for you. I pray you get the food you need, the clothing you need, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body. That's saying without doing.
Right.
What does it profit? And then he says, so also faith without works is dead. I've had a lot of cars over my life. You probably have too. I've had cars where I've run out of gas on the freeway before. Well, the car was dead at that point. But I didn't throw it away. I just got a gas can, put gas in it, and drove off. I've had cars where the battery went out. I didn't get rid of the car because it was a non-car. It was still a car. It just wasn't functioning because it didn't have a battery. And so what James is saying is the energizing principle of our Christian lives is faith that leads us to do. Not just saying, but doing. And this isn't talking about saving faith. This is talking about anything God says. For example, if God says, love your wife as Christ loved the church, and you believe that's true, and you preach that's true in your church, but you don't do it, that's dead. If you believe it's better to give than to receive, and you preach that, but you don't do it, that's dead.
Right. And if you don't put your faith into practice, you're not going to be able to save people suffering from poverty, for example.
Right.
You're not going to be able to save people who are being economically abused. One of the examples James uses in his epistle is a landowner who's keeping back wages from his workers, and those workers are suffering. Another example James uses is what we talked about, someone who is sick and they need the prayers of the elders to come to anoint them with oil. You can't save them from sickness if you don't put your faith into practice. And the last example that James uses is a brother who's about to walk away from the faith and commit a sin that's going to really negatively impact his life. And he's saying you can bring that brother back, right? In the
fifth
chapter.
Yeah, 5:19 and 20.
Faith without works can't affect these earthly salvations. It's useless if you don't put your faith into practice.
That's exactly what he's saying. This is basically Bible study 101. Once you observe it and interpret it, now you gotta apply it. You need to be what James calls a doer of the work.
Thank you, Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar, for explaining the context of James 2. Those are some verses we hear a lot about. And thank you for explaining the exact relation between faith and works for the believer. Now, listening friends, it has been so good to have you with us this past week, and especially for these last few minutes. I hope you've been encouraged so far by this series entitled The 10 Most Misunderstood Words in the Bible. There is also a book by the same title, and you can request a free ebook of the first four chapters through an email to radio@faithalone.org. We will send it to you along with the code so that you can purchase the entire book at half price. This is Grace in Focus, a new radio program from the Grace Evangelical Society. We are praying that God will use this outreach to spread the news that His grace is absolutely free and that everlasting life is absolutely available to every person who simply believes Christ for it. You can learn more about the Grace Evangelical Society, our parent organization, by going to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We are offering a free subscription to our magazine, which has the same name as the radio program, Grace in Focus. It's published 6 times a year, many subscribers enjoying reading every issue, and I know you would too. We also would welcome a gift from you to help sustain this ministry, and you can do that through the same website, faithalone.org. Once again, thanks for being here. Next time on Grace in Focus, how is faith related to trust? Are they synonyms? We'll have one more discussion on this misunderstood word, faith. We'll do that after a weekend, which is full of, hopefully, fun, rest, and worship. I'm Lucas Kitchen. Until then, let's keep grace in focus.